back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I've changed the screenshot for everybody. Sun's out, guns out. Orioles are playing great baseball. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery at a bunch of places. So I have like a whole schedule that I'm putting together for the next couple of weeks and couple of months. But first things first, we're going to begin June on the 2nd in Hale Thorpe at Shannon's Pub. Looking forward to getting over to a place I've heard a lot about, the Crab Cake. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. Somewhere around here, I have the floppy hat. Oh, there we go. 866-90-NATION is the way to get in touch with our friends at Window Nation. If it's still May, which is only a couple of days, you get 0% financing for the next 5 years. Buy two, get two free. If it's June, there'll be a new offer next week, but it's not going to be 0% financing. This guy knows about financing and about sports and about business and a little bit about media as well. He is one of our defending champions, always a proud Baltimorean. Baltimorean sometimes when things aren't going well. He makes his home down in Miami now. He spent a long, long time out in Los Angeles, as well as New York and other places, running Yahoo, as well as Fox Sports. He is the curator of the Post Game and founder of the Post Game. He is Baltimore's own David Katz. We welcome him back onto the program. Dude, last time I had you on, Lamar was like, there were memes of him in Dolphins jerseys, and you're down there in Miami, and they were all lubed up about that, and he was going to get a better tax situation, and he demands a trade, and then when they run the Preakness, the Orioles are fighting for first place, and it's Memorial Day, David. I mean, it's been a hell of a ride here the last 90 days. Sports, don't tell anybody, it's relevant again.
Oh, yeah. It's big in Baltimore. I think back to that last conversation we had, Nestor, and Baltimore, Ravens, Lamar was on every lower third on every telecast in America for a period of 3 or 4 months.
I called it the Lamarathon.
It was a Lamarathon. Mm-hmm. And as Baltimoreans, we do have a little bit of an inferiority complex when it comes to New York and Boston and Philly and some of these bigger markets that surround us that seem to suck a lot of the oxygen out of the room. And for the first time, Baltimore was really the center of attention on all media all the time nationally. And I don't know about you.
Well, when Aaron Rodgers wasn't on the guy with the white beater shirt.
By the way, there was a little bit of that, but I'll tell you, it was all Lamar all the time. And I don't know. I think we feel like we never get enough attention. No one's ever talking about our franchise enough. We're always being disrespected. Well, guess what? We got plenty of attention, plenty of analysis, plenty of talk. And I don't know about you, but I was exhausted. I don't know that I like that much attention. I think I like it when Baltimore has everything nice and tidy and packaged up and is slightly underrepresented in the media and slightly underestimated in the standings. And that's when Baltimore does its best work, because I was just completely exhausted. And when the Lamar news announcing his signature on that document was done, I don't know about you, but it's kind of how I feel sometimes after certain presidential elections happen. When the transfer of power is happening, I take a deep breath and I'm like, okay.
You did live through January 6th now. So we did have reason to wonder if there was going to be the thing that we've had for 250
years. I'm not saying which side of this, Nestor. I'm just saying it's sometimes nice to have the oxygen taken out of the room, to take a deep breath and say, okay, we're back to normalcy, whatever that means. And in this case, we're back. The birds are chirping. I turn on my TV and they're having to talk about something else. And Baltimore sports can return to, candidly, a lot of really fun on the field conversation now, as opposed to all the off the field conversation. So I cannot wait for the summer and what we're going to, I'm sure, talk about with the Orioles and the expectations and the anticipation of what the Ravens season is going to mean this year. Cause I am all in and super excited. Let the Monken era begin. Can't wait to see what's going to happen. So it's a great time to be a Baltimore sports fan.
Far be it from me to steer a conversation between you and I away from football, because like there's really never been any reason to drive it away from football. Although I happen to know that you spent many a early afternoon out there in Manhattan Beach watching some really bad baseball on your satellite dish for many, many years, that in your family, the Orioles led the party back when, in our childhood, our mutual childhood, I would say, when there were no Colts, there was no football, any of that before the Ravens existed. And I still think the amazing part is the young whippersnappers that come up now that I've been thrown out by the Ravens after 27 years and writing the book, that don't realize I was here fighting to get the franchise here. Like, and what a miracle that the Ravens even exist is in this Lamarathon era. You know, all these years later, we're talking about $250 million contracts, that just the fact that we even have a football team for guys our age, baseball used to be the whole conversation and then it went away. This has been a fascinating 6 to 8 weeks. And notwithstanding last year and Rutschman coming up and how it was, and Luke even coming on our airwaves, the down the center Luke Jones in March saying the Orioles could have done more, they should have done more in the offseason. And yet here they are after beating the Yankees up this week, homestand, people are going to the games. I mean, there are people who swore they would never go back into the city of Baltimore. I have friends in Forest Hill who are going down to games this week, parking the car, doing all the things they said they were never going to do because they're engaged by the baseball team. And dude, I'll leave this at your feet and you could say what, because you and I have never really talked a whole lot of baseball, because what has there been to talk about? But the thing that I have fought for all of my professional life, it is rich with irony, brother, that you would come in here when you're running Yahoo and put my station on and hear me and my host talking about how they should put Baltimore back on the road jerseys and having the team throw us out because of it. And now they're off selling Baltimore on the home jerseys in black to make money, but to somehow try to connect with a community that the ownership forgot about for 30 years, mistreated for 30 years, and now they have a really good team. I mean, it's a, no one should deny this is a really good team, a compelling team, great, but now they have almost instant prosperity from a business standpoint. On the field, it's going to be fine. Now it's everything else. It's experiential. Right. And you lived in that space in Fox and other places to say, how can we take a good product on the field and make everything around it, make people want to come to it and compel and engage with it?
Well, I'll tell you, I was supposed to fly into Baltimore next week. And the first thing I did, because I was set on certain dates, the first thing I did was check the Orioles schedule. I cannot tell you the last time I did this coming into Baltimore to visit family. And it looks like, hey, the Orioles are going on a long road stand. And if I come in 2 days earlier than I was planning on doing, I can catch that last afternoon game, the getaway game, before they go on the road. And guess what? I'm coming in 2 days earlier so I can go on the 3:05 start and catch that Oriole game. So yes, what's happening on the field, incredibly exciting. All of my friends who are back in Baltimore say there's a renewed energy and enthusiasm in and around the Orioles. And I think this is also the difference in sports. It's been a while since we've had this kind of success on the field and how it then bleeds out into the community. But when you're talking 162 games instead of 17 games, we get up for Ravens games. We will always get up for Ravens games. There are only a few. And in the world of supply and demand, there's high demand on that low supply. In the world of baseball, there's so many games. How do you keep that energy level up? How does the city care about that kind of stuff? And you're starting to see the effort that the team is taking, both on the field and off the field, to stoke that. I'll give you one little example. And you've been critical of the Orioles for a very long time, deservedly so. They've abandoned a lot of their local responsibilities to the community, to the fan base, and others. But
I like how you put responsibility in there. I want to stop you just for a second and say, They have an obligation and a responsibility to be better stewards of all of it than they've been. I've highlighted that. Now, here it is. They've delivered what they've been promising, right? Like, this is the baby we want to see, right?
And look, there's a civic trust that a team and ownership needs to have with its community. And we can say for a while it has been lessened or abandoned or whatever words you want to use, but we are where we are now. For me, it's about today and forward because you can't change the past. And a friend of mine was out at this real estate convention in Vegas the other week. And I don't know what event he was at or whether it was in his hotel, but he posted on our Baltimore sports group chat that all of our high school friends still have a picture. And it was a signed, autographed note thanking him for attending on behalf of the Maryland group at this real estate, national real estate convention signed by John Angelos on behalf of the Orioles. So when you think about these things, that thought meant a lot to me because a personal signed note from John Angelos to a Baltimore real estate group meeting in a national convention in Las Vegas means a lot. These little touches, touching into the community, saying this real estate community is an important part of Baltimore. It helps drive Baltimore. Commercial real estate is important to the community. Well, look, those types of touches, that's a small note, but those types of touches, you're going to need a lot more of them, are a way to come back in. And all I'm, look, I study this the way you do, Nestor, and we all have our theories. To me, a lot of this was not that the team did not want to do more in the community and did not want to, you know, invest more. They were playing a legal game with Masson, and the Orioles were the pawn in the legal game with between Masson and the league. And until that,
you don't use the kids as a pawn.
I know you don't, and you shouldn't, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just saying that's what this was and is. And as more and more,
well, I mean, Peter admitted that to me in 1997, Dave, right? Like I'm re-releasing the Peter Principles right now, just so people can see where it was. I wrote it. It's all factual. It's accurate. Yep. This is why the stadium is empty when you've seen pictures of Rick Sutcliffe pitching 30 years ago and it was packed. This is why it was empty for 20 years when you see Cal Ripken running around 21-31. Yep. I was just with Ryan Ripken last week, and he's a grown-ass man now. He was so little that he barely remembers it, by his own admission. That's how long ago it was that the place was vibrant, and you could say, well, what happened? And it's been the story of my life to chronicle every single day. You know, as the sun comes up, you measure it as to what has happened here. And the notion that Peter would tear it down in this way and that it could come back to life in an instant, like in one summer, it can all come back. I mean, I had Dennis, I'm wearing my Coons Baltimore Ford. Dennis is like, Coons is advertising on Masson now in the games because people are watching the games. Yeah. And we talked about the Houston Astros and zero ratings and what that represents. But for the city, this is what we've waited for. And now this promise is here in these players and these young players. And there are so many things that could go right or wrong on the field, off the field, negotiation, all of that. Sure. But I can't begin to tell you, Dave, how many people have come up to me in 6 weeks and have talked about Adley Rutschman's contract all of a sudden. Like, I'm like, my God, like, we're there already? Yeah. Well, we just did the Lamarathon. We have to have it. And I'm like, can't we just play baseball? But these are questions people have because of Manny Machado, because of the Angelos family. These are the same questions I have every single day to say, all right, these guys have never run John Angelos has never run a lemonade stand with any there's been no business to run. Now hot dogs have to be warm. Parking has to be good. People need to be hired. Traffic needs to go well. Public safety. Start with that. Let's start with that, right? So all of these things that there was traffic last week, Dave. I was late getting to a happy hour because Oriole traffic let out. That's true. That's a success story. In ball, it really is a success story. And I really want it to go well, but it's my job to sit on the outside and say, how's it going? I want to know how your experience is when you go down there, because we need you to come back. We need you to want to come back again, make a special trip up in July or August. We need you to maybe hold off on that London plan in October, because that week might be important around here, right? So there's just different considerations with the baseball team, and we've waited. And now, to your point, They're counting on you to give them money and come and sit in the seats and be a part of it. And then there's that, how much are beers? Did I have a good time? Do I want to go back again? Do I have a favorite player? Like, and this is the time for that. And it's been beautiful to watch, man. Yeah. Being here every day to have people come up to me every day and want to talk about baseball.
Nestor, it's great. You're a baseball guy. It's in your name. You're a baseball guy. And it means so much to you. It means so much to the city. We're an Oriole town in a lot of ways. We've become a Ravens town, and I love my Ravens. But there's something when the Orioles are clicking. There's something magical about checking in every day. It's amazing. Look, I think the Orioles can get – I'm a business guy. I'm not a player development guy. I think the Orioles can get the business stuff right. I do. I think they will get it right. I think they've been blessed with a crown jewel stadium nestled in a part of the city that, you know, maybe has been a little more neglected over the recent time, but they still have this incredible venue to watch a baseball game. And now I think the hiring of Mike Elias, I don't know when that was, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and the plan he's put into place, you have to give ownership management credit for finding him and Sig and the system that they've put together, the moves they've made. I will tell you, I had similar concerns in March when I looked and I said, okay, these guys should be able to put the bat on the ball, but our pitching is going to be woeful. You know, relief pitching should be good, but making none of these real big splashy moves in on the starting pitching side really concerned me. And especially at the beginning of the season, the first couple of days, I was like, man, are we going to be able to do this? We're wasting all these bats and this youthful energy. And man, maybe it's over performance. Maybe there's something to momentum and energy. Maybe it's something to how Adley Rutschman calls a game. There's a hell of a lot to what I think is more important than any single draft pick that these guys have done is the strategic move of putting over a number of years the players in place with, you know, a lot of left-handed bats and a certain type of pitching rotation, et cetera, et cetera, and then knowing they're going to move the wall back and up.
Well, Elias came clean. I went to a CEO event a month and a half ago, right when the season started. It's like week two of the season. They had gotten off to a good start. They might have been 5-1 or something. They were pretty good at this luncheon. Yeah. And all the questions were about Adam Frazier, and they were about Stoughton, and they were just different kinds of questions. But Elias came clean about the wall and the obvious, which we talked about on the air a year and a half ago, which is they couldn't sign pitchers in the market. And they felt like they would have trouble getting a pitcher to stay. And they would have trouble having a young pitcher keep his head together. Grayson Rodriguez being exhibit A in the early going, struggling a bit, more than a bit. Yeah. But if the ball was going out at 364 two or three times a game, that a mistake or two leads to five runs instead of two flyouts or a sac fly, that it changes everything about a young pitcher's countenance. It changes their success. And if God knows you bring some Scott Erickson, you know, sinker ball guy that ground ball, fine, you can have those pitchers. But then when it comes time to get paid, they go pitch for the Yankees like Messina did. So because they want to get out of here. So all of that for 30 years, I knew that from knowing Mike Messina in 1995, yeah. Right? When it was his decision as to Cleveland had a bigger ballpark, Houston had just built a bigger ball. There was all these places he could have gone. Cleveland, Boston wanted him, and he didn't like the monster there. Like, there was all of this. If you're a pitcher and you're going to take $100, $200 million, you want to go someplace that's a better ballpark. All that being said, he came clean about it and said, yeah, of course we did it about pitching. And I'm like, well, why don't you just say that a year and a half ago? Baseball people sort of know that, you know, really.
Look, it was the untold thing. It was, to me, it was the story of last year. And everyone will talk about Adley, and he's been phenomenal. And I hope he is the cornerstone of this franchise for the next decade. But the wall move was sheer brilliance. It worked. And it worked because they had a strategic plan. These guys are super smart at not just evaluating talent, but evaluating talent in the context of the scheme they're running, in the same way that the Ravens are super smart and how they draft and develop linemen who will pull in a different way because we don't play this type of power football. We play this type of football, and you need to have the talent to fit the scheme. And I think we've now seen excellence on both of these franchises in building rosters around the skill sets they have and the unique qualities they have. And it's an absolute pleasure. And by the way, you got to give Rob Manfred credit. I remember seeing an interview with him, and they asked him a question. And many would say that between Adam Silver and Roger Goodell and all these guys, Manfred will not get the credit that all these other guys get for running these institutions. We could talk about all the mistakes baseball's made, but combine some of these local moves that the Orioles have done in the broader context of the rule changes that we've seen this year that have brought people back to baseball. And I never understood. I mean, baseball has always been so aligned with its tradition and history and not wanting to do it, but they figured out rule changes that don't really change a lot of those long-term stats that everyone wants to compare generation to generation, but have found a way to make it more appropriate for the modern sports fan. And it's like universal applause across the board. So
you think
combine
people eventually
those
wager on it while we're talking about that, because like wagering on baseball, I mean, like that is the, to my eyes coming to it, look, the shift going back, that's normal baseball to me, right? This, you can't pick off. That's sort of little league rules. You get two picks, and then, you know, and so it's changed everything about speed. It's almost made the rotisserie game. Remember when rotisserie was like home run, stolen bases, and whatever the hell else you came up with that made up issue? And I'm like, how the hell do you think Vince Coleman is as valuable as Mike Schmidt? He's not. Boy, he steals bases. He steals 80 of them. Schmidt only hits 35 home runs, and they're bad. And I'm like, what kind of game are you running here in the 80s? What kind of craps game are you running here? You're waiting the dice. I'll tell you this, the part of baseball and getting all of this right for stats, for this, the biggest thing baseball's done is 2 hours and 30 minutes get the game over in the short attention society that I need the game to end. And I hate the runner on second base, but the game ends. And if the game ends, everybody goes home happier at a better hour. Pitchers go home happier. Franchises go home happier. They don't sell beer after the seventh inning, so they don't make that much money anyway. I'm trying to think of all of the stuff you're talking about, and whether it's science or good fortune or good luck or just final negotiation for all the these baseball people watching their sport, just sort of, at least in our market, a good team right now, and all of these other things conspiring at the same time. It's just made life better in the land of pleasant living, David Katz. That's all I'm saying.
It has indeed. And then you put on top of that a team that is just supremely likable. There's something about like aging veterans going through and having their last big win or kind of continuing to dominate. And that's great when it happens with your city. But there's something more special in those early moments when you're watching young players develop in front of your eyes, achieve their dreams, deliver the excitement, these home run celebrations and all these kind of quirky, silly little things, but these kids are doing, they're kids. Okay. They're kids at this point.
Hey, so did you feel bad about the beer bong thing, or were you okay with the bong thing?
I don't care about the beer bong thing. It makes them happy. It's fun. It's fine. It's great. Like, let these kids live.
You going to sit in the bird bath with your dad? Guys. Where you sit? You sit in the bird bath section or no?
No, if I'm getting one game, I'm going to try to sit in as good a seat as I can possibly get my hands on. And I'll be going with some people that I know will want to sit in some really good seats. So we'll be sitting in the best seats we can get our hands on. But I will tell you, it's just fun. And that MLB.TV subscription that I had on for years and years and years, and they have turned off after Machado left, and it looked like we were going to be rebuilding for 5 years. You know, it's back on. We're watching a lot of games, although now I'm in Miami, so I don't get the benefit of starting these games at the end of my afternoon.
Hey, by the way, broadcasts are good. Ben McDonald's really good at this.
Yeah, Yeah. Look, every part of it. And by the way, Jim Palmer, and all this, Jim Palmer, to me, is still great. I still learn something about baseball every time I hear Jim Palmer speak about baseball.
Well, this is great to see him get reengaged too, because he was falling asleep 2 years ago like everybody else. I mean, poor Mike Bordick, and I spent time with Bordick, only called awful games for years and years and years. Bordick's one of the best humans that I know. He's a credit to humanity. He's a credit to the city. He's a credit to baseball. He's a credit to their organization. And certainly wasn't bad at doing the games. You know what I mean? The games were bad. It's hard to watch anybody in the sixth inning of a 32-74 team in the middle of July. You know, like that's not a fair judgment on him. But the broadcasts are good. Ben McDonald's good. The team is good. I don't think the jersey thing's good, you know. But David, for you being the flyover in all of this, what are your media concerns, baseball concerns for growing this thing? Because you're the kind of executive, quite frankly, John Angelos could hire to come in and, you know, spice things up in some way with the digital side of things, because it's what you do. It's what you've always done at Fox and Yahoo. When you see it from afar, this is the chance for all good ideas on deck, I guess is what I'm saying, because there's so many things they couldn't do when they stunk that they could do now, the birdbath thing. Birdbath thing ain't catching on when they're losing 100 games, you know?
Look, people are watching. Major League Baseball is going to be at a major crossroads, and I don't want to get too business focused right now.
Please do. I need to learn stuff. That's why I have
demise,
you on.
The quote unquote demise of the RSNs, the regional sports networks. You know, people don't realize on the football side of things, they have national television deals. They're going to make $110 billion over the next 10 years, locked and loaded, plus gambling, plus Sunday ticket, plus, because Brian Rolapp, Roger Goodell, and the team at the NFL are the best in the business at maximizing revenue.
NFL draft. That's all you have to do, which is literally, I think they asked themselves, what would Vince McMahon do? We're doing that tonight. And they do that for 4 days.
And look, I watch every minute of it. Okay. I am sitting there.
When the playoffs are on in the NBA and the NHL, when the Orioles are playing too, right?
It is a year-round experience. And I think there's a lesson in this, right? They've taken the NFL, which was a seasonal and regional experience, and they have made it a year-long national experience.
No, worldwide. Trust me. Dude to save my wife's life's in Germany. He was waiting to see what games are in Germany. You know, we have this London game now. Like, you've been to games in London. I've seen pictures of you over there.
We what do you mean? We went out for Indian food after the game the last time.
I forgot everything that happened after that game, and I remember not being in a really good mood at Piccadilly.
That was the single worst game of any sport.
You and I spent that evening together because my wife didn't even want to be near me, can I apologize to you publicly for everything about that happened after that game that day? Because that was a really bad day.
Yeah, you were not.
We were together though, man. You were with me at one of my lowest lows. Yeah,
we walked through Leicester Square at the end.
Looking for Chinese food, as I remember.
That's correct. I'll tell you one thing. I was incredibly disappointed when I saw the schedule come out, as someone who doesn't live in Baltimore anymore, because this is the least travel-friendly schedule for a Ravens fan that they could have done. I had already.
Oh, then they're going to flex the games too. So even if you book the trip to Arizona, LA, or San Francisco, they can move you out of the game if they want to. If Lamar breaks his leg in week 3, they won't play in prime time. You know.
I still have a home in Los Angeles. I wanted to go to that Charger game. As long as they didn't have it around Thanksgiving, I was going to that Charger game. When did they schedule it? Thanksgiving. The other game that all my friends had decided we were going to go to is we want to go to Nashville. We wanted to experience the Nashville game. The Titans-Ravens rivalry is still a good one, and that city would be fun and it's pretty central to get to. So, of course, that game goes, and it's going to be in London. And it happens to be in London on the weekend that I have an event. And as you said, God willing, the Orioles might be in the postseason. So,
right? What? Come on, don't talk like that.
I
not on
just
this program.
Like to under-promise and then over-deliver.
Dude, hold on. They're almost 20 games over 500. It's Memorial Day. They better not be any – this would be an ish show if somehow they win 84 games. I mean, stop.
All right.
There's
no
way.
What? Here's the crazy thing. They're going to have, as of now, they have the second best record in baseball, and they'll be a wild card team.
Well, so, I don't want to take it. I want to stay on
football.
And
we don't
football,
have a top line start. We don't have the top line guy that a lot of these other teams have that can go out there and guarantee that you
worry
win.
Worry about October and August when John has to throw money and Elias has to get rid of a couple of the gems in his collection in order to win this year if they're leveraged to win. But I want you to go back to football. But I'll say this. Yeah. The one thing that's cheated from all of this is there ain't no pennant race. You know what I mean? You're either in or you're out at this level. They're good enough. I don't think they're going to be on any fence. If you play 600 ball, you're going to be in the playoffs. You just are, right? Yes. So if they play 575 ball, they're going to be in. You're like, so knowing that because they let more teams in, it does kind of, there aren't going to be big games in August. Except maybe they're perceived as big because the Yankees are here or whatever. But the thought that the old school pennant race thing happens, I think that's going to detract from it a little, but not a lot here. Because people are going to be excited to go out there, but it's going to be excited to be in a crowd again.
Look, Nestor,
for a winning team.
It's going to be about seeding at the end of the year. It's going to be angling for where you're seeding and how many home games you're getting. And can we take Tampa? We're 3 games behind them. Can we take Tampa? Like, there's going to be stuff. Give baseball credit for that too. I've said, and I'm totally not a traditionalist, I've said we ought to go to a 100-game season or 120-game season and
screw all the stats up. We can't
and
do
have
that.
a much longer playoff, because that's where the money is and what people care about and the excitement and all that stuff. But anyway,
how can you hit 80 home runs in a season and break Barry Bonds? Oh, that's right. He doesn't have or Mark. Does he have a record? I don't.
Yeah, no.
David Katz is here. He is the post game. He is the Baltimore. And I want to go back to football with you because you were getting your football mojo going here on Lamar. Because last time we got together, you know, it felt like the next time we got together, it wouldn't be all this kumbaya love and Lamar gets his money and shows up and happy. I mean, I want to ask you this. I'll just cut to the chase. This is the main, can they win? Are they going to win the Super Bowl with him? Do you really think they're going to win? I mean, like, you see him sign. That's great. Better to have him than not have him.
Yeah.
Do you really think he's going to win 4 huge football games in January, be standing up to do that in the next 3 years? Cause it kind of has to happen in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Cause who knows? I mean, and how much money he's making and what it's going to make the team look like in 26, 27, because we all live through that with Flacco. I mean, you take 20% of the cap, it's 20%. So are you a true believer that Lamar is going to beat Patrick Mahomes and anybody else in his way?
Well, let me just say, I'm a realist. And to win a Super Bowl, lightning needs to strike. The magic has to happen. Everything needs to break your way. I think we had a better team the year that Lee Evans dropped the ball and Billy Cundiff missed the kick. And I thought our window had closed. And yeah, maybe these guys would come back one final year. But I was so devastated at that moment because you know how hard it is to get there. And the chances of getting back, how does that happen? Well, did we think Joe Flacco would channel Johnny Unitas and put together one of the great playoff streaks of all time? Do we think that Anquan Boldin would, you know, make that fourth down catch? And,
you know what's weird, dude? I always believed in Flacco. I always believed in him. He delivered. He is the most pissed upon, underappreciated hero in the history of Baltimore sports.
Look,
that
I mean,
that, you know,
go,
like,
I mean, 4th and 29, you know, I was at that. Okay.
I wrote a book on it, dude. I got you, man. I was there for all of it.
Look, all of those. So do I think Lamar, absolutely can do it. I think he can. I think so many things need to happen. And I think the sport is different. What Lamar allows you, and this offseason has been a very different one because we seem to have loaded up on offense in a big way and kind of shifted the balance of our spend despite the Roquan signing, which I love, but we've kind of put more into the offensive side. But I thought it was a very interesting strategy that was very different than everyone else. Lamar could move the chains single-handedly. He had a unique skill set. Patrick Mahomes, everyone else needs people around him. Yes, they make people around them better, but they need people around him to make plays in a way that Lamar was single-handedly able to put up 25 and a half points a game and move the chains to get enough first downs to keep us interesting, in which case you'd say, well, if your defense is good enough now to keep people under 25 and a half points a game, you're going to win a lot of football games and you're going to be in the playoffs, and in the playoffs, anything can happen. So I didn't mind that strategy, and we'll see how the Ravens do in what I think has been a very untraditional offseason for Baltimore, not just signing Lamar to a big deal, but OBJ, I don't know, Zay Flowers, like clap on draft day.
Todd Monken, let's not forget the whole different philosophy.
Todd Monken is the biggest thing, because John's not calling plays after play after play. It's the guy sitting there up in the booth or on the sideline, wherever he's going to do it. And I'm super excited to see what this guy can do. I think he's the most important offseason move the Ravens have made. So how does he call a game, and does he get the guys in the flow? And to me, it's all about unpredictability. We just became too predictable. We just kind of, we would pack it in, and you'd know Lamar's either going, you know, off tackle right or off tackle left, but we'd pack it in, defense in, and you're trying to get inches here and put the nose of the football there. And we saw how that worked when, you know, Huntley tried to go over the pile on a weird call. Like, spreading it out and taking advantage of all the width of the field and giving people space, and then signing players or drafting players who are theoretically good in space with Flowers and Duvernay and all that. Like, there's a lot of chess pieces here, and can Monken put a plan together that makes it work? And let's not forget who we really are. Like, we're going to throw more. Like, I'm hearing Lamar say we're going to throw more. We might throw more, 5 times a game more, which is a lot, you know, statistically, but they're going to be running the football. Okay. They're going to be running it because we've got great running back, and we should have a pretty good line if everyone's healthy. So I think the Ravens' identity is going to still be hit you in the mouth, but we've got some players that I think, you know, what's the difference between a run and a screen pass to Zay Flowers or a sweep or some of these things? Like, they're all variations of still the same theme for Baltimore. And I'm not an X's and O's expert, but I watch a lot of football. And I think that Baltimore has been very good at maintaining its identity over the years. And I think that we're going to continue to do it. And what I love, you know, Harbaugh is there's a lot of consistency there. But Harbaugh, give him credit, he's evolved as a coach. I think he's evolved as his football philosophy. Like, even going down the Lamar road, which saved his job arguably, and seeing that it was working, and then doubling down and tripling down on it, and the use of analytics, even though we'll criticize him on fourth downs and all that stuff. He's evolved as a football man from what he was when he came in and hired his dad's, you know, offspring and kept them around too long, and the Cam Camerons and all these guys. And he's become his own man, and he's become his, and kind of created his own philosophy. And I think he represents the city incredibly well as in his role as you know, the presidential figure that he is. So I think we've got a system. I think Eric is more aggressive than Ozzy. We'll see if he ultimately has the magic of Ozzy. Not yet, but he's been willing to make moves, like bringing Roquan in and, you know, Earl Thomas in the past, which worked for a little bit, then didn't work, and others. But look, I like the aggressiveness of the franchise, and I like our, I like where we're headed. And so I'm sorry for rambling here. We have as much of a chance as almost anyone other than Kansas City that I think has the chance, just because they've got the best coach in football and the best quarterback in football and a scheme that works and players that they can plug and play that work. We'll see what happens with the Bengals when they got to pay Joe and they can't pay everyone. And
you know, we talk about the Orioles, right? And David, we've been rambling. David Katz is here. He's been our guest many, many times. Katzman, dude, just go find him out on Twitter, longtime executive and Baltimore on. I've had a lot of people from Cincinnati on. You live in LA. I have a picture of you and me at the Super Bowl. It's the last Super Bowl I'll ever go to. You and I have a picture together up in the media section where all the cannabis was wafting in the upper deck of LA at SoFi Stadium through the second half in the press box. There was no press box. It was kind of open air. You and I were there, and you saw those Bengals fans come in, and they ain't never had nothing, right? Like Bengals fans, like ever. And now they've got this gold standard, right? You know, after years of Marvin trying to build it up and Carson Palmer and Ocho Cinco, and they had a lot of smoke, but not a lot of fire. The question of competence to John Angelos, who 5 minutes ago was at war with his brother and lawyers, always, they're at war with the Nationals still with Matt. Like, they're good at certain things. The Bengals have been good at making money and saving money, that family. They've never really figured out how to run it. The Reds have always sort of run that town, even when the Reds have stunk for a generation and Pete Rose can't get in the Hall of Fame, but he can still get in any bar he wants in Cincinnati. The Bengals, this is a real, I don't want to say indictment, but it's a moment of truth for the Brown family. And like it's a moment of truth for the Angelos family that they didn't pass the Manny Machado test. They didn't pass the Buck Showalter test. They didn't pass the Chris Davis test. They didn't pass any of those tests. The Brady Anderson nepotism test. They didn't pass any of those tests. The Bengals have made a Super Bowl, have a super-duper player, and everybody's waiting on them to pay him so that they can be a real franchise for the next 10 years. But, Dave, I don't know if you've been to Cincinnati lately. Those white jerseys, it is a sensation. The Bengals have been a sensation in Cincinnati over 18 months in the way that the Ravens were here after Super Bowl 35, yeah, where they're pop-up tents and everybody's buying purple. That's Cincinnati right now. Baltimore could be that again, right? But the Bengals, we have no confidence. To your point, it's sort of like, it's like the Chargers signing Herbert. Maybe they'll sign him and move the franchise to London. I mean, that's possible, right? But signing these players, I don't know why we ever doubted they would sign Lamar when in the end, they had no choice and he had no choice. I mean, that's really the way business went down, is neither one of them had any choice. And the Ravens had no belly to string this out for five more months. And I guess he got enough money. I mean, he got what he wanted, right? He got everything he wanted.
The deal worked for both sides at the end of the day. It may have been a marriage of convenience, but I think the economics are worth it on both sides. By the way, quick aside, because on the last time I was on, we talked about Lamar and I gave him a lot of credit. He had his own mannerisms. People may not like the way he presents himself in certain ways, certain fashions and everything. But the guy and his mom delivered for his family. So at the end of the day, he may not have gotten everything he wanted. No one does in a negotiation. But Lamar got paid. He did it without an agent.
I felt like he won the negotiation in my mind. He dug in and he got his bag. He didn't get a little bit of the bag. He got, I don't say overcompensated. I mean, they all get what they get, but he's won one playoff game. Like, you know, stop. You right. Stop. He won. Right. He's not a sure thing. He hasn't been on the field in 3 years after Thanksgiving. So right. you, that's why I've been called racist lately. Imagine that, right? Like, I mean, it's crazy how, because I don't see every sign that he's going to win the Super Bowl. Pounding the ground, the frustration level he shows professionally, all of that. Decisions he makes off the field. You know, having the kid in Pennsylvania get under his skin when he didn't even get, I mean, just, I'm not convinced Lamar Jackson is going to win the Super Bowl. Now, that being said, I'll be at the parade if he wins, right? Like, yeah. I mean, good for him, but
look, I got to tell you,
if you're asking me if I'd bet my money on it, I don't think I would. I really don't. Based on what I've seen, the body of work, I don't. 2019 MVP, 2024, it's a different cast. All yeah. of that being, and it's a way, way different responsibility. I thought that the responsibilities of the owners. What about the Cats making $50 million a year? All right, there's some responsibility there too. And I'm not convinced he's win. He'll have to show me. He can show me. He's been doubted his whole career and has shown a lot of guys like me that he can get his $185 million for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a very grounded kid, and I think he. Have you ever been in a tense negotiation. You've been an entrepreneur for a long time. I've been in corporate America for way too long. There are times when your deal is up and you're negotiating, and it's easy to say you got to remain calm and you got this. In my case, all I got to do is go in the office, take out my computer, type on the computer, send out emails, make some phone calls, try to close some deals. I'm not doing that in front of millions of fans. So he had this thing hanging over his head for 2 years, and he was expected to go out in these high pressure moments with media asking and fans asking. And
some media, some other media. The guy who asked the tough questions got thrown out. I just want to make that really, really clear. And the press conferences, and I'll Sinatra that and let the record show. By the way, because I was the one asking after he runs 21 times whether that's a good idea or not. Like, I was the one guy who was willing to do that, you know?
He lives on social media. You live on social media. The vitriol and the hate is so strong. So to ask a young...
I am not a hater. I'm a realist. No. Of a quarterback who runs into linebackers professionally for the ability for that to be sustainable over the long haul. It has not been. It just hasn't been yet. It hasn't been for any franchise in the history of franchises. It's why he hit the market and nobody wanted to sink in $200 million over the next 3 years to make him their guy. Like, I don't know what else there is to say. I've talked to enough professionals that would say, I don't want my quarterback seeking contact. Like, that seems to be a fundamental proposition that is lost upon some people in the Ravens community that just think, well, they signed him. He's gonna win the Super Bowl. I stand here and say he's won one playoff game. Now, could he? Sure. Did they need to do a lot around him? Yes, and they have. All that being said, that's a diminishing aspect of his productivity in the coming years, because Zay Flowers will have to be a superstar. Maybe he is, and that will have to happen quickly, like it did for Andrews, right? Right. They're going to need not only Humphrey to stay safe, Roquan Smith to stay safe, Ronnie Stanley to wherever he is on his 30-year body, where John Ogden's pinky winky toe took him out of the game early, right? Like, they have pieces here that we're all thinking, these are our $12, $15, $18 million football players. They all need, to your point, be upright, functioning, pivotal, key, make big plays, all that. They need to do it without Calais Campbell. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I hear you. I'm just trying to examine this fairly based on what I've seen. I'm not anti-Lamar. I root for Lamar. He's the most exciting player in the game. He has unlimited capability. I mean, I'll give you all of that. Is he going to play 21 games and be upright and throw the ball 30, 35, 40 times a game and do it at the level that Mahomes does it, or Allen, or pick any of the guys that he's going to have to beat?
Well, the answer is no, he won't. He won't do it at that level. I don't think that's his game. But can he do it at a level that's good enough to win playoff games? And look, he has proven an ability in clutch moments to have some incredible moments. And he hasn't failed outside of some very bad 2-point conversions, which candidly, I'll put on scheme. Like, you go to the line and it's like, it's so clear what he's going to do. It's going to go one way. And we need more creativity. We need more sleight
of hand. The amazing thing about that thing, and I've talked about this in season, and I haven't bothered with it in months. And I mean, let's be honest, dude. The kid hasn't played a meaningful game in 3 years because he doesn't play in November and December. So, like, you could say, like, I saw him throw the pick that cost him the Giants game. That was, you know, like, I've seen him make bad plays. I've seen him walk on skates in Cincinnati and Cleveland and save the franchise and win games, right? In October, okay? I mean, it's like nobody's given the Orioles the World Series in May, right? Because you ain't seen him done it yet, right? So for me with Lamar, the amazing thing is the inefficiency in the red zone when that is your matchup. Your matchup is, in short distance, nobody should ever be able to stop him because he's got to step on everybody, theoretically. And that hasn't, in 18 and 19, that was a hell of a theory. In 20, we had a plague, and he didn't take a shot. And next thing, and he's not playing games in Pittsburgh. And we're playing on Wednesday morning, and like all of this happened. That's him too, by the way. That's adult. These are real things that happen. And the last 2 years, I've seen not as much that leads me to believe that they're going to win a Super Bowl that I should bet my money on, and that he's going to be upright, and that he can do all of these things that we're projecting him to do, that we've paid him to do, but we haven't really seen him do maybe since 2019. Now, the good news is he's got better players this year, right? Yeah. Upright, and they would have been better 2 years ago if all the running backs didn't get hurt. Like, and right. If Ronnie Stanley's knee didn't blow out again in Las Vegas, and like, right. I give John and Eric all the credit in the world. And the last conversations those men ever had with me, and probably will ever have with me after long, long conversations, that they were so disappointed this time last year at the outcome, but at the injuries and all the injuries they had in that year. And that can't be, I mean, as we sit here right now, they are a playoff team. They're going to win 11 or 12 games. I'll hear all of that if Lamar's healthy, if they run the ball. I'm an optimist about that. I would bet on that. I would bet on that right now. I don't know that I'm betting on Lamar Jackson to win four games in January, February, and being up.
The odds are that we will not win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. That is just math.
Right?
The odds are we will not.
So you're saying I just made a pronouncement on the air that could make me a genius just by being sort of lucky and right? Like, because you are right. I mean, the chances of anybody winning, it's like, ask those poor people in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. But do we have a chance? Will we be in the conversation? Will we make the playoffs? Will we maybe have a home game? Will we? I think the odds are pretty good that we will be with a real chance in mid-January to do something. So, and then it's all about, can the magic strike? Does the ball bounce your way? Do you get the PI call? Do you get the this? Do you get the that? Like, there is so much that has to happen for this. It's a miracle when it does. And you and I were at the miracle at Mile High. Let's not forget.
Oh, but we have pictures together there.
Have to happen, okay?
People wonder why I have you on the show. We're like real friends in real life. We like hang out, not just on Zoom. We live in the same place.
We're going to do our own crab cake tour when I'm in town next week.
All right, we'll take you out for some crab cakes. David Katz is here. We will be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week. We're going to be at Shannon's Pub in Halethorpe. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll be ripped up that John's not going to be happy with me. Neither is Roz, and I got the ticket a little. But we had winners the other day as well. We were up at the local in Falston. Highly recommend that you get up there, get that chicken sando up there, hang out with Lou and the folks up there. Had a great time. I had Fancy Clancy on, learning his life story. And we talked about beer and baseball and travel with Fancy Clancy. My friend Jay Ellenby also joined us from Safe Harbors Travel. Jay was the witness to the Nasty Naked Run back when the first miracle happened, which was the team ever showing up here. So I talked about that at length, that I did profess that I would run through the streets in my underwear from Hooters to Balls if we ever got a team. We did get a team. I didn't run naked because I was going to get arrested. I did run in my tighty whities. There's a lot of video evidence of that. Jay Ellenby, I think his poor child, poor Sean, at that time, who's now like a grown man and ran the Maryland PR department. David can be found at the post game. He can be found at Katzmandu. I can be found anywhere there's a good crab cake. And if there's a guy on Wednesday that looks like Dave with Dad sitting out at the ballpark for the afternoon game, it is David Katz. So, hey, man, enjoy the ballpark. Enjoy the holiday. I will see you at some point this week for some crabs. It's been great catching up with you. And this conversation might not have happened if the Orioles weren't. You know what I mean? I'm reaching to, like, people that I don't normally reach to in May and June because the Orioles are good, and it's awesome. Isn't it cool?
I can be your May guy. I can be your June guy, too.
Well, I was –
let's talk baseball. Let's talk media. There's a lot to talk about in media. We'll do this all the time, Lester.
It would have been all Ravens in May and June and July like it's been for – 23 out of the 27 summers since they got here. So I am My last name's Aparicio. I have a closet full of orange just waiting to be dusted off, like all of you out there heading back to the ballpark this week. Good fun around here. Big thanks to our friends at Window Nation for sponsoring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour as well. I have the floppy hat out. 866-90-NATION. If it's still May, you have about 5 minutes to take advantage of the buy two, get two free deal, and 5 years, 0% financing. Better deal than they gave me last summer. So take advantage of it before summer gets here. The weather's good. The beer's cold. The baseball has been outstanding. Yeah. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.